When is the perfect time to rob a bank? According to economic data, Friday mornings yield the highest returns, around $5,180 compared to afternoon heists averaging just $3,705. But with a 35% arrest rate and average haul of only $4,120, bank robbery remains what economists bluntly call rubbish as a career choice. This counterintuitive analysis typifies the approach of when to rob a bank, where everyday scenarios reveal surprising economic truths hiding in plain sight. Drawing from a decade of Freakonomics blog posts, this collection delivers the author's most provocative thoughts in their most casual, unfiltered form, giving us unprecedented access to how these economic minds process the world in real time. What would happen if 20 snipers randomly shot people across America? When Levitt posed this thought experiment about terrorism strategies, readers were outraged, calling him both a moron and a traitor. But his point was profound. Terrorists likely already consider these strategies, and their absence suggests either incompetence or different objectives entirely. The real insight? We're largely powerless against low-grade, low-tech terror, and the true damage comes not from casualties, but from our fear and costly overreactions. This pattern of misunderstood risk appears throughout modern life. Horseback riding causes more serious injuries per hour than motorcycling. Most murders, rapes, and child abductions are committed by people known to victims, not strangers. Yet we fixate on dramatic black swan events while ignoring common dangers. Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman explains that immediate, imaginable consequences often outweigh vague, delayed ones in our decision-making. Our brains simply aren't wired to accurately assess statistical threats. American charitable giving reveals stark disparities. Americans donated $5.3 billion after Hurricane Katrina, 1,833 deaths. Only $1.92 billion following the 2004 Asian tsunami, 220,000 deaths, and just $150 million after the 2005 Pakistan earthquake, 73,000 deaths. Media coverage dramatically impacts donations. Each additional minute of nightly news coverage increases donations by 13.2%. In sports, home field advantage is real across major leagues, ranging from 53.9% in MLB to 69.1% in MLS. Contrary to popular belief, the advantage doesn't come from players sleeping in their own beds or field familiarity. The primary driver is referee bias, officials unconsciously responding to crowd emotion. The most compelling evidence comes from German soccer, where home field advantage decreases in stadiums with running tracks separating crowds from officials. Cheating represents a primordial economic act, getting more for less, and people will cheat even when stakes are low. In a Mexican welfare program study, applicants predictably underreported valuable possessions, 83% hid car ownership. But surprisingly, also overreported basic amenities they lacked. 39% without toilets claimed to have them, despite this potentially disqualifying them from benefits. This embarrassment-driven lie of reputation reveals how self-reported data in any context is deeply unreliable. Even high-profile figures struggle with honest reporting. When accomplished people like Tom Daschle and Tim Geithner fail to properly pay their taxes, what does it reveal about our tax code? If they were intentionally cheating until caught through high-level scrutiny, then tax cheating is too easy. If they made honest mistakes, the tax code isn't working. Most likely, it's both, simultaneously too easy to cheat and fundamentally dysfunctional. Why do pharmacies charge wildly different prices for identical medications? One Houston physician discovered shocking disparities. While chains like Walgreens charged $115 to $117 for 90 tablets of generic Prozac, warehouse stores like Costco charged only $12 to $15. Many patients, particularly retirees, simply fill prescriptions at familiar pharmacies, assuming prices are similar everywhere. A perfect example of information asymmetry and price discrimination. Even chicken wing pricing defies logic. At Harold's Chicken Shack, a two-wing meal costs $3.03, three wings $4.50, four wings $5.40, five wings $5.95, and six wings $7. This means the third wing costs $1.47 more, the fourth wing only 90 cents more, the fifth wing just 55 cents more, but then the sixth wing jumps to $1.05 more. While economists typically try to rationalize such pricing, sometimes the simplest explanation is true. Whoever set these prices was simply confused. A reminder that businesses are made up of people, and if people are generally confused by economics, that confusion inevitably carries over to firms. Is walking always greener than driving? Not necessarily. Walking 1.5 miles and replacing those calories with milk produces greenhouse emissions roughly equal to driving the same distance. With two passengers, driving becomes more planet-friendly due to emissions connected with food production. The locavore movement misses that specialization is ruthlessly efficient. Food production contributes 83% of emissions, while transportation represents only 11%. Shifting just one day per week from red meat and dairy to chicken, fish, or vegetables achieves more environmental benefit than eating all local food. Food packaging, often criticized, serves vital functions. It extends shelf life significantly. Cucumber wrap increases it from 3 to 14 days, while packaged apples reduce damage by 27%. When food rots in landfills, it produces methane, a greenhouse gas 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide. Consumers discard 6 times more food than packaging, and food waste produces 3 times the carbon dioxide of packaging waste. Names reveal fascinating economic and social patterns. After Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans, one might expect the name to be abandoned. While it did drop significantly overall, 850 babies were still named Katrina the following year. More surprisingly, in Louisiana and Mississippi, the states most affected by the hurricane, the name actually increased in popularity, perhaps as an affirmation of survival or to commemorate those affected. Despite tremendous economic and social progress for women over the past 35 years, including reproductive control, educational gains, reduced wage gaps, and longer lifespans, research reveals a paradox. Women report being less happy today than 35 years ago, especially relative to men. This pattern holds across working women, stay-at-home moms, married and single women, and education levels. Possible explanations include inflated expectations leading to disappointment, women's lives becoming more like traditionally less happy men's lives, or reduced social pressure to pretend to be happy. The power of economic thinking isn't in predicting markets or analyzing GDP, but in revealing the hidden incentives shaping our everyday choices. From pirates treating prisoners well to encourage peaceful surrenders, to the convergence of TV viewing habits between racial groups, economic analysis uncovers invisible forces driving behavior. This approach cuts through emotional reactions and conventional wisdom to expose underlying patterns. It explains why football coaches make conservative decisions, fearing criticism more than valuing praise, and why the Toyota Prius's distinctive design serves as conspicuous conservation, signaling environmental virtue. When encountering puzzling behaviors or seemingly irrational systems, remember there's likely an economic explanation beneath. By questioning assumptions, examining incentives, and following data, we gain clearer understanding of our complex world and make better decisions. The economy isn't just about money, it's about our daily choices and the hidden forces shaping them.